We're on Daf Nun Gemel Dalf still. And we're up to Amalei Kachmir Shabbi Yosha. It's a little bit less than halfway way down the Amud. It says, we're talking about the case of Acharecha. So Amalei Kachmir Shabbi Yosha Abi Amishla. Israel Abi Yosha, the father of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosha compiled the brises from which the Mishnayos were made, so he's called Rabbi Yosha Avi HaMishnah. So Kach Biyosha Rabbi Yosha Avi HaMishnah, the case, Achrov Leploini, V'Achrov Leploini. Now the girsa here is choppy, and probably the girsa should be fixed. But without me fixing the girsa directly, let me just tell you how to learn it. I'm not going to fix the girsa, but I'm going to learn it like Ridbaz does, and he does fix the girsa, but I'll just learn it as it is written here, in order not to make it too complicated. Kach b'yish rabbeish yavi ha-misha, achrov l'ploi v'achrov l'ploidi. If I say, let it go to Reuven, and after him to Shimon, and after him to Levi, right? So there are three people here. So in this case, only then can the third guy not get the property unless the second guy gets before him. Since I said to Reuven, and then after him to Shimon, and then after him to Levi. So then, if Shimon predeceases Reuven, so chain is broken. However, right? Ilomar Mace, what if he said, after so-and-so dies, let it, actually, wrong word, I used after. Mace ploni leploni. If I said, if Reuven dies to Shimon, if Shimon dies to Levi, right? So then, in that case, mace Reuven leshimon, mace Shimon leLevi, then, and I didn't say acharecha, then in that case, it's not considered to be sequential. And then, even if Shimon dies before Reuven, since Reuven died, and then since Shimon and Reuven both died, so then it goes to Levi. Right, because contingent on the death of the two of them, not on the order of 1 to 2 to 3. Okay? So it says, Ilomar Meis, then Ashlishi Bechaye Sheni, then the third guy has rights already during the lifetime of the second. What?
It takes over.
Right. So actually, he has already rights during the second's lifetime, and even the second predeceases the first. Nevertheless, the shlishi already has dibs on it because the word acharech was not used. Okay. Now, getting back, however, to the case acharecha, if you have a case, well, even if it didn't say acharecha, let's say both the second and third, and I don't think Mazim say acharecha or mace ploni, ploni, mace ploni, ploni, but the number two and number three died before number one, not just number two, also number three. They both predeceased number one. So the heirs, mace ploni, mikem shlo zocha b'en asheni, since the second guy never got it and the third guy never got it either, so lo zocha yorshim yos. The yorshim of number two and number three have no claims. The heir, the property stays by Reuven and his heirs. Okay, because whether I said mace ploni, ploni, mace ploni, ploni, or whether I said leploni, vacharech leploni, vacharech vachrov leploni, The only people who have claims are the people themselves, not their heirs. So therefore, if they both predeceased Reuven, first one, Reuven's heirs get to keep it, and Shimon and Levi's heirs have no taina. Makes sense, right? Okay. So it says, usually means you come out saying, but here it means, we found concerning Acharav Leploini, Acharav Leploini, concerning this case of Acharav Leploini, Acharav Leploini, we found the following brisa. What's the brisa we found? Tane, we learned, Tarishon Bocher Karkov Lokeach Peros. The first fellow sells the land and acquires fruit. Divrei Rebbe. Now, this is talking about what he said to Reuven, and Acharecha to Shimon, and Achrov to Levi. Reuven sold the land. The land which he got. He bought fruit. It's a valid transaction. Shimon's never going to get it. Levi's never going to get it. Tough. Reuven changed the face of the transaction. Tough on Levi and tough on Shimon. Tough on Levi.
Yeah, they just inherit whatever's left over from Reuven as a slave. So if Reuven liquidates part of the estate before he dies, that's okay. Right?
Yeah, but the chiddush is that even though the original owner, tried to put the sequence in effect.
Yeah.
The first guy can undermine it.
Still in effect. The only difference is that there's less.
That's how he sells all the property. Right. Okay. That's all the Gemara. That's what Rebbe's saying. Rabbi Shimon Leo argues. Shimon Leo says, he only has the right to eat the fruit, not to sell the land. Okay? Because of the Acharecha.
Yeah, but there was no strings attached. Reuven could do whatever.
There was one string.
Acharecha.
So Shingamli holds that's enough.
There's nothing left. Then there's no out.
Yeah, but you know, okay, that's their issue. Is he required to make sure something's left or not left? Okay? That's the bottom line. So it says Gemara, Rechizki Amar, Halachiku Rebbe, that if the first one sells, he sells. Amarai Mara, Ramana said, now, I have to explain a very important point here. Well, not yet. Let me wait one more minute. Amarai Mimad, Amarachizki Halachiku Rebbe, from that which Rebbe, Ramana said, Halacha's like Rebbe, Hadamaras teaches us, She'ein Noislo B'mat Nashchid Meira. Leaving. We pass in a look like Rebbe that Acharecha means that you can sell. If I said to Reuven and Acharecha, I said to Reuven, I'm giving you this land, Acharecha le Shimon, Vachrov le Levi. Now, according to Rebbe, Reuven gets to sell the land. But the way the Yerushalmi understands, there's a very big difference between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli in this, and we'll see in a minute. I'm going to explain the Yerushalmi based on the Ritbaz, who says the Bavli argues. But the way the Yerushalmi understands, the reason why Reuven can sell it is because nobody has a Kinyan Aguf. There is no Kinyan Aguf right now. Why is there no Kinyan Aguf? Because nobody is going to get to keep it in this family. Nobody has title. Either title remains by the original giver, whoever that was, or there is no title until Levi gets it down the line. But there is no Kinyan Aguf. Each one has Kinyan Peiros in turn. Reuven has Kinyan Peiros. Then Shimon has Kinyan Peiros. Then Levi has Kinyan Peiros. Okay? Now, what does Kinyan Peiros mean? It means I can sell the land to buy myself Peiros. That too is a form of Kinyan Peiros. Normally, somebody else has a Kinyan Aguf and impedes upon me from using my Kinyan Peiros, means the rights of usage, to sell because he's still got the title somewhere. But nobody here has the title. Somebody has the title, so therefore who gets to sell it? Whoever's owning it at that point in time. However, to give as a matnas chimera, he wants to give it as he dies, as a gift. He's not going to get any payers from that. He's about to die. He has no right to give as a matnas chimera. The assumption which underlies his being able to give it as a gift is that he can make payers out of that. And even to give a gift during his lifetime, he can say, I'll get toivas anor. If I give this guy a gift, someday I scratch his back, he'll scratch mine. But that doesn't work by Matnas Shchimira. Because Matnas Shchimira is purely an act of giving without any acquisition in return. So in essence, you can't be a good guy when it comes to the Kinyan Acharecha rights which you have. Now that's different than the Bavli. The Bavli has a much more pedestrian reason for not Matna Shchimra not working. Matna Shchimra, the Bavli holds, it doesn't work because when does the Matna Shchimra take effect? After death. After death, does he have any? It already goes to, no, but even worse. After his death, who owns the property? The next guy, Shimon. If your property and the heirs get your property, so the heirs have a mitzvah to listen to what you tell them. But Shimon has no mitzvah to listen to what you tell him. So therefore, he can't give us Matna Shchimra because Matna Shchimra takes effect after death. However, Yerushalmi doesn't learn that way. And that's proof from the next line. It says the Gemara, Hacha Mar Rabbi Mona, this Rabbi Mona said, Kum Rabbi Yossi. As a result of this lomdus, that you can only sell when you have kinyan, when you're going to get hanoah of kinyan peros from it. So therefore, gevaldik echidish, he wants to say. He wants to say, for hodo isha woman, became a shemizon and sell by law, does she need to acquire food? Who supports a woman? Her husband. So in a case where she's in the string of acharecha, it was to the woman and then acharea to so-and-so and acharea to so-and-so, he wants to contend, right, Mara? She can't sell the property. She's like a shchivmira. Because she's like a shchivmira, it's not going to get any payers from it, and therefore it's not allowed to give it away. So too, she's not going to get any payers from it. Because she doesn't need payers. Because where's she getting all the payers from? Her husband. So since she has no need for payers, she has no right to sell it. So gevaldige chinish. The premise is you can't give this property is Matna Shchimira because Matna Shchimira has no payros and his right is to sell. He says, I have kin payros, that means I have the right to produce from this land. He can sell in order to produce profits with which he'll buy food. But Shchimira campus doesn't need any food anymore, he's on his way out. So therefore, well, how can he give it away for that? It was Shchimira. And similarly, Rav Mona wants to say, somebody who's a woman, a wife, does she need to get peros to procure herself peros? No. Where's she getting all her peros from? Her husband. So therefore, what right does she have to sell in the name of peros? She can't sell the property in a case where she was given only the ownership of acharecha. You look at me like you're stunned.
It's a difficult concept.
Why is it so difficult? I think it's tremendous. Mara's going to reject it immediately, but I think it's a tremendous concept. You see a flaw in it? No? There is a flaw. Says the Gemara. Again, Achamari Mona Kuni Rabbi Yossi, Vadoi Shem Bekevishim is on the south by law. Since Razim has a supporter, Loki Matna Shchimira, it's not like Matna Shchimira. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, it's beat me, it's a question. Loki Matna Shchimira, it's not like Matna Shchimira, so Acharecha, should not, by a woman, she should not have the right to sell it. Amar Lei, he said no. He responded, Rabbi Yossi responded, Rabbi Mona. What does her husband have to provide her with? Her whatever she needs in food. In macho, food, meshach, oil, melach, salt. Basically bread, salt, and oil. But he, by mezavna, she wants to sell the acharecha property which she got, Mizab Umechel Tani Goylin, and she wants to buy chickens. So therefore she should be allowed to sell. It's also a form of payros. So therefore you can't say that her sale is null and void because she doesn't need payros. She does need payros above the meager subsistence allowance which her husband is entitled to limit her to. She wants to sell this property in order to get more payros. Okay. Says Gemara Damros teaches us, Shimbike Sharishon. In any case, where the first guy in the case of Acharecha to Reuven and Acharecha, to Shimon and Achrav Lulevi. Any place the first guy wants to sell or the property, Umechal Tarigolin, and use the money to buy chickens, he's allowed to do so. Why? That's also considered to be a foreign payros. Even though it's a luxury, luxuries are also payros. And it can sell the property in order to get that payros. Okay? Says Mara. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Tani Tamon, we learned over there, Kivura Kimzonasem. If he has to spend the money, if he has to sell the field in order to raise money to bury a relative, that's also like Mazonos. But it's also any profit which he needs for any purpose allows him to sell the field in the case of Acharecha. Okay? Any profit he needs, even for the purpose of burying somebody else. Okay? What's the matter? Specifically, there's one person making a lot of noise. What? Yeah. No, the problem is that you can make on individual voices. The advantage of a large base manager, you can't make individual voices out. When you can, it's a little bit difficult. All right. So says Gemara, Kamar Atomar Tamon, just like you say elsewhere, Moicher Karkav Lokeach Mazon Mazonos, you can sell land in order to realize profits, in order to buy food. In other words, you can say that by Acharecha, that the person who has the right sequentially can sell land to raise money to buy food. Afachal so too over here. So, in other words, by Acharecha as well, we say Moicher Karkav, person can sell the land for Lokeach Kvura and buy the wherewithal in order to bury whoever needs to bury. Period. New issue. Rabbi Yosef said, Vilin the Kosvin, those who write, in Misas below Bonin, if I die without any kids, let the property which she brought in go back to her father's house, even though there are those who hold Yerushas about the Raisa, and he's not going to inherit it. He's master mashkosa b'Torah. He's making condition against that which it says in the Torah. Nevertheless, tonight mamonu, it's a condition in matters of money, and therefore it's no kayom. Any condition of monetary matter is a valid condition. Period. Okay. Halacha base. New issue. Mishnah base. Somebody who died. It's a very interesting mishnah. Misha meis v'niach ishto. Somebody who leaves, or dies, and leaves a wife. Now, what does the wife want? Ksuva. Ksuva. He died. Right? She wants a ksuva. Misha meis v'niach by ishto u'balchov. And a creditor. And Yorshim and heirs. So who should get the property? Voila Pikaron. Now, we're talking not just about property which they immediately inherited. We're talking about property which is Pikaron or Milva Biyadachem. Something which the deceased, before he died, but gave for safekeeping or as a loan to somebody else. So who, when the watchman or the lender gives back the money or the object, to whom does he give it back to? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinosku L'Kleishol Shavuot. You give the weakest of the three, literally the most likely to fail. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Merachmin B'Din. There's no Rachmanis in judgment. Ela Yinosku L'Yorshim, letter we give to the heirs. Shekulan Tzirchem Shavuot, all the other people mentioned here require an oath in order to collect property. Veina Yorshim Tzirchem Shavuot and heirs don't require an oath. Rabbi Yosef Chida Amar, when Rabbi Tarfon said L'Koshel, what does L'Koshel mean? L'Koshel Barei Yosef. So the person who has the least evidence, he's weakest in evidence, Kigon, such as Milavetim and Milavishtar. The two people are creditors. One has a loan which is outstanding, which they're only witnesses. The other has a loan which is outstanding, upon which there's a shtar. Who's the weaker of the two? Why? That's interesting. That's interesting. The Korban Eid explains that it means because a milva be'edim. I like your svara, but I don't think they say that here. A milva be'edim can't collect from property which is under lien to somebody else. A malva b'shtar can. A shtar collects in the chos m'shubadim from property under lien. A milva al peh does not. So therefore, the person who's weaker in rias in this case is the. Who's the person who's weaker in evidence? The person only has edim, like you said. So therefore, he gets to have the property, which is by safekeeping, or loan outstanding. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, L'kosho begufo. No, it's given to a weaker person. A person who doesn't have the stamina to face the long, extended court battle. So says the Gemara, Agatz b'chol. I don't understand this. Imagine this. Have a seer. Let's say the guy was rich. Could go on Elaine the Baron Droy. Like those that asked the Baron Droy. They were very weak, but they are rich guys. So would you give it to them because they're so weak? So it says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yachal, Kosher Begufo V'Ani. It's got to be both. It's got to be weak and poor. Now, Kadon, who's that like? Who's examined that? Kadon. A story. They gave her the money after the death of whoever it was, her husband, I guess, because she was the weakest of the three in terms of her stamina. Sir Shimon Lakish heard this, that they gave it to her. He brought Avdoid Rabbi Yudah Nasiya. He brought the Avadim of the house of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. And he made her give up the money or the property she got. Why? Because he said, we don't paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, they give it to the weakest link. Don't do it, we give it to the heirs. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Mistamik Rabbi Shim Barabba. Rabbi Yochanan was leaning on Rabbi Shim Barabba walking down the street. Amarle, so he said, Mana said, Rabbi Yochan said to Rabbi Shimon Rabba, Mana said, Bosonia, what happened to that poor woman, the famous poor woman? Right, what happened to her? So Amarle, so he responded, I said, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Avdu, Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, Reish Lakish brought the Avadim of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Favig Mina, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba asked the question, what happened? And Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Shimon Lakish brought Avdu the Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, he brought the Seizayin Nasi, Bavi Minah, and removed it. In other words, took the whatever it was from it. So says Marvi, Yofen Naseh. It's actually Rabbi Yochanan, I think, speaking. And he's saying the Sajmin, did Rabbi Shimon Lakish do a good thing? Because basically, everybody agrees you got a pasuk Rabbi Kiva against Rabbi Tarfa. Kiva say you don't give to the weakest one. There's no rachmanis in halacha, right? But once you did something according to Rabbi Tarfa, and you did give to the weakest person physically, Rabbi Yochanan says it's not right to renege. Once you paskin, albeit erroneously that way, you should leave it that way. That's the same. You often ask that you think it was good what he did, it was bad what he did. Now, says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kri Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yirmiyah said for Rabbi Zira, it's possible to say. Like, Ulai Nomar. Rabbi Yochanan Kedaite, Rabbi Shimon Kedaite. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon followed the lines of reason which are known to us from elsewhere. Tispaugun. Very interesting, Machlokas. It's brought down to Bavli, but not the same way it is here. It's spoken down to Machlokas. Akomodim. Everybody agrees. Shim Tov Shikladas. Dayani made a mistake in the judgment call. Shein Machzir, we don't make them take the court case back. We don't call declare a mistrial. It was a judgment call. You might say they're right. They might say they're wrong or vice versa. But since there's no way of knowing it's a judgment call, you leave the din intact. Okay? Torah, if they made a mistake, so which is said in Torah, they forgot that it says don't steal. Or something like that. So then, of course, Machzir, we make them go back. Ma pligin, where's their machlokas? Betos mishnah. Well, machzirin actually doesn't mean we make him give back the money he got based on that mistake, if it's a mistake in divrei Torah. Ma pligin, where's their machlokas? Betos mishnah. In a mistake in a mishnah. In other words, like here, it's a mistake between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfa. What do we say in that case? Rabbi Yochanan mar betos mishnah shikol das. Rabbi Yochanan says if you make a mistake concerning a mishnah, that's the same thing like the mistake in shikol das, and therefore it doesn't go back. You don't have to renege on the deal. Rabbi Shimon Lokishon mar tos mishnah, that when you make a mistake which has to do with the mishnah, so then that's considered to be I forget what it means about Torah. Oh, I misread the line. No. What did you want to say? No, I made a mistake. No. I'm wrong, and you're wrong too. So we're okay. Okay? Just a minute. Let me go back. Hakomodim, very simple. Hakomodim shiitob shikodashe marzirin. I read wrong. If we made a mistake shikodashe, you don't make a person go back. Bidivetor marzirin. Right, that's what I said before. There used to be a joke in Nei Yisrael that they put out a student publication called the Or HaNer, which is kind of like the Or Shmuel here. It's to be a joke. You get in as long as you don't contradict explicit pesukim. Right, that's like the editorial cutoff line. So here, if you made a mistake in Shikul Adas in judgment, of course it doesn't go back. Dayanim keep it. They'll keep the psak intact. If you made a mistake in explicit pasuk, you can't make the Or HaNer and Nei Yisrael. What do you think? We're going to let you get away with that and keep the judgment intact? You have to redo the court case. But if you made a mistake in a mishnah, that's the toast of our mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, that's the machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan holds like a toast in Shikul Adas, and therefore you don't go back. Reish Lakish holds it's like a mistake in Divrei Torah, and therefore you have to go back. So therefore, that was besides the point. The poor relative, Rabbi Shimon Sherman Bar Shmuel Bar Abba, she got the money like Rabbi Tarfa, right? She shouldn't have gotten the money like Rabbi Akiva. Reish Lakish held you go back, and the Gemara throws in. The Shimulosh Meratos Var Mishnah is the Var Torahi. So what's a toast Mishnah which he agrees, says if you made a mistake in a Mishnah, it's like a Var Torah. And what else is a toast Mishnah, which is the subject of Machlokes? Toast Mishnah, toast Kanim. If you didn't know which Zakin to Paskin like, right, he went to Rabbi Tarfon, and you Paskin wrong. That's a variation on Tos Mishnah, right? Tos Mishnah is to forget a Mishnah. Tos Kanim is who we Paskin like. So Reish Lakish holds you right now. If you forgot who the Paskin like, you got to take back the halacha. And that's why he took back the money from the woman who was given it, like Rabbi Tarfon. What? Mistake. Move up. He's good. Okay? Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that Rabbi Yochanan holds you only have to take it back if it's a toast in Dvar Torah itself and not a toast Mishnah. Okay? So a mistake in the Torah itself, not a mistake, and the mistake you made in forgetting Pesukim, not a mistake you made in Mishnayos.
Okay.
Period. Hagatzmecha. Now, this is getting back to the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah itself said that he always, that according to Rabbi Akiva, you give the property to the heirs, because the heirs don't require shvua in order to collect. Whereas the other ones, a woman and a creditor, have to take a shvua in order to collect. So that's why it's easier and more expeditious to give it to the heirs. So it says, more, wait a minute. Hagatzmecha shepter min hashvua. What about a case where the deceased husband exempted his wife from taking a shvua, or the deceased man exempted his creditor from taking a shvua? One of the other scenarios in which the creditor, the wife, is exempt from shvua. So in that case, it's an even playing field again. The heirs don't have to take a shvua, neither does the wife, and neither do the creditors. So why is one better than the other? We give it according to Rabbi Akiva to the heirs. So it says, I'll tell you why. Because zu Torah v'zu eina Torah. The Yerusha of heirs is the Raisa. That's the way it works. Heirs inherit the Raisa. However, that's only by lands. By Metaltlin, by lands and by Mulamjim. I'm sorry, scratch that. They inherit the Raisa. Everybody else that could take over the property is not considered to be an inheritance to Raisa. It's some sort of, inflicting justice on them, that they have to pay a fine or they have to pay up, whatever the case may be. But that's not considered to be a chiyuv to Raisa. I'm not saying that properly. By an heir, gets whatever he gets to Raisa. A creditor or a woman, what they collect from Metalklin, at least, is the Rabbana. Because Shibud to Raisa only is on Karkos. So they only is on land. Alina is only on land. So therefore, our mission, which allows to collect, it's played by a Din to Rabbana. Whereas the heirs inherit Metalklin, even to Raisa. So it's better to give it to the heirs who have Yusha to Raisa, as opposed to anybody else who's collecting, only is collecting from the rabbinic authority. Okay? Yeah. The Bavli uses toast of our mission in a different meaning, though. The Bavli talks about toast of our mission means. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You made a mistake. You may say so much has to do with the Mishnayos, as opposed to explicit halacha. You're right. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but you're right. But the Bavli only has two gradations: Toast Mishnah and Toast Shikol Adas. Whereas Yushami is three gradations: of Toast Mishnah and Toast Shikol Adas. So maybe this machlokes in the Bavli and Yushami. Maybe you're right about that. And the Bavli doesn't have the same three factors that Yushami does. It's a good point. Okay, halacha gimel. Hiniach peros atlushi min hakarka. What if the deceased left to be divvied up among his heirs and his wife and its creditors fruit which is served from the ground? Kol kodem b'hem zachum. Anybody who gets there first gets there. Zach tza isha. What if the woman got there first and she got them all? They're worth more than her ksuva. Yoisa ksuva also. Or the creditor grabbed them, they're worth more than his debt. Hamosa, the excess. Rabbi Tarim made that excess, Yidnu Lekoshu Shabbat, and again, you give it to the weakest among them. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Emrachim did, there's no mercy in judgment. Eli Yinostu Leyoshim, which should be given to the heirs. Shekula and Tzrichim Shua, they ought to take a Shvua, an oath that this thing is theirs. Vuhu, Vena Yoshim Tzrichim Shua, and the heirs don't require that self-same shvua. Okay? Says more further, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, these two great men, Tarve and Armin, they both said, Bitzfurim Bitzurki, this is the only truth of fruit, is in a it's not clear as Surki is. Some say it's in an alley, or in a public domain, or in a store. But the bottom line is, when do we say that that ain't called crime zone? Anybody gets the first gets it. That's only if they weren't in the house; they were in some neutral zone. I believe machra tzovra and bebeso. But if, let's say, one of them gathered the stuff in his house, zochsalo beso, his house gets the property for it. Is that clear? Yeah. If I have in my house, if my house is open, and let's say a deer runs into my house and breaks its leg, so I get to keep the deer because my house acquires it for me. It's like a kid in a chutzah.
It's gathered in front of a store, which is a Trish around. Then
anybody can grab it. Right. Only among these three people, the Baal Chov, the Yoresh, the creditor, the heir, or the wife. Holding on. Dead guy's property.
He puts the parents out so that either the wife or the orange or about
one of the three. Is that better? Okay. I lean sort of a base up, but what if they're in the heir's house already? They're not in neutral territory. They're in the heir's house, wherever the heir is, right? So, Zochlo Beso, his house acquires it for him. And none of the other people have claim. Rabbi Yochanan, are not true! If I feel the term is Zochlo Beso, even...
He did not put him together in his house.
The heir. Right. It says more not true. Even if they're in a pile inside his house, whatever this property is, lo zochlo beso, his house doesn't acquire for him. Why? Amazing concept. I seem to have some dim recollection that this is in the Bavli as well, but not in the Bavli here. So he says, my house, davasava inun delay. If somebody's in my house and I thought it's mine, what's a good example?
It's very unusual.
What's that?
That the concept of a house, property acquiring it for you,
I know it sounds very strange.
Right. I seem to recall the Muncie story like this being above Matsi the Bible. Maybe
somebody
I'm mistaken.
Leave some jewelry in by mistake, the house is worth it.
No. That's being it's ownerless. Oh. Yeah, the guy died. The owner died, the original owner, right?
Oh, so all his property in the house is.
So all of his property, which is in the heir's house, I would think goes to the heir. But the more saying it doesn't. Why doesn't it? Because the heir didn't know they had to make a kinyan on it.
Oh, really?
He didn't know he had to make a kinyan. He thought it just automatically transfers to him. Joke's on him! Ha, ha, ha. He doesn't get it. Somebody else can come in and walk away with it. Okay? What?
One of the other two.
Yeah. Not just anybody, just one of the other two people. Okay? So it says...
There may be a logic to it. In that, you say, what's on Tamiya?
No. They don't need that. Some chutz mitam yad. Only chutz mitam shliach.
Really? You think of it, the yad has to be. You can't just. It has to be reaching for something which.
I don't think so, but maybe you're right. I'm going to call it correctly. So in any event, so says Gemara, to have a sabar dina delay with lacing on the day. And similarly, the way the Gilead Ephraim changed the gears with water slightly, it says, the kavasa, similarly, may was by zola peros of A Baal Bais goes into his own backyard to collect fruit that grows there during Shemitah. Does that fruit actually belong to him at this point in time? Stuff in his own backyard during Shemitah does actually belong to him?
Oh.
Tefka, right? So when does he acquire it? He wants to go and acquire it. I'm Rabbi Yossi. I feel nuts. No! You fell into a trap! I feel nuts to tell Caleb, even if he put it into his pocket, let's say, into his garment, lo zochbem, it doesn't work. Why? Because he thinks he's the Baal HaBos still. Davis Savar Meimar, he thinks Inun Didei, that it's his fruit. Veleis Inun Didei, and it's not his fruit. So unless he says explicitly, I am acquiring this L'shem Kenyan, doesn't work.
Even though it's not,
you still don't like it, huh?
Digesting it.
Okay.
It's nobody's. Why did he pick it up? It's different.
Because he didn't pick it up to make a Kenyan. It still remains Hefker. Okay? Says the Gemara, Hi Armeloso. Now, we had a similar case. A certain woman who, after the death of her husband, she's a widow. Tufts Armeloso, she grabbed a slave or maidservant from her husband's estate, not from an estate, from her husband's estate. So, and she grabbed it for the purpose of, it seems, which later she claimed she grabbed for the purpose of collecting her ksuva from the sandwich which came from my mind. Okay, but in any event, so she comes and she grabs. Asuv the kurabi, it's a martafas tafas. Whatever she grabs, she grabs. Rabbi Ami mapik minei. Rabbi Ami took away the maidservant from the widow. He said, she thinks it's hers. She doesn't think it's her husband's and she's taking it for a ksuva. The reason why she took it is because she thinks it's her maidservant. She doesn't understand the finer point of having a dead husband. So she thinks it still is. You liked that one, didn't you? Okay. So says the Gemara. Again, Rabbi Yami took it away for a deeds of a dida. She thinks it's his, but lehisinun dida, they're not hers at all. And it's like the following case: kadoi le b'nei Shemi. The certain kids were known as the sons of Shemi. The damach avun, their father Shemi died. Shavaglun avun eis, the father left him a goat. Asamar Yehova, their creditor came. It should be Venosva and took it. Asu Dukum Rabbi Avo. So the story came from Rabbi Avo. Varma, he said, Diday Nosa. He took his own. Right? It's his because he is a creditor. So ask the Gemara. Vlokei Tani, I don't understand how you can say it. So we learned Yorish Balchov, an heir or a creditor, Shekana Mechoban Batofas, if somebody
One second.
Yeah, okay. Sazamara. Again, locate tight, then we learn Yorish about Choshikon Mechoman, Tafas. If one of them came or along and seized the property, it should be Ein Motzi in Miyodo. We don't take it away from him. So says the Gemara, Swakum over here, could they take away the goat? So says the Gemara, same story, said, oh, look, they haven't serving to eat them too. They thought the goat was theirs. The goat's reality, not theirs. Why are the goats not theirs? Did he make a Kenyan on it? They inherited it without a Kenyan. That's not sufficient. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Asafdi. Yaakov Asafdi concedes. Mo said, rather, that Mo Rabbi Avo. Avo concedes, she machrua mishkano matil tulua. If they sold it, or if they put it up as collateral, or they carried it, for the tent of one second. Yeah. Well, again, Rabbi Yaakov Zabdi, Motive Revocati Chimachrua. If they sold, the heirs sold the property. They didn't actually do Mashiach on it, but they sold it anyway. They eliminated go, and they just collected $200. Okay? So there was property which was allotted to them, and they just sold it unilaterally, right? Shimrachu Mishkanor, they gave its collateral unilaterally. Or they carried it from place to place for the purpose of acquiring it. So then, and then afterwards the creditor comes, the Tafasin wants to grab, we make and give it back. Now this is interesting. What he basically said is that if you use it in some way, shape, or form, even if the way you use it is by selling it, that clearly indicates to us that your case is a case where I was getting confused. It's very simple. We just said to him now they need kavana to be koine. But if you sold it, it means you obviously have kavana to be koine, because you don't sell things which you didn't own. Or mishkenu, if you gave us collateral, obviously you're displaying ownership, because people don't give us collateral things they don't own. Or tiltlua, you carried it mimakulamachum with the intent that that should display your ownership. That's considered to be sufficient. Then afterwards, the creditor comes with tapas and grabs what Timmy would take away from him he had no right to grab. Okay? And again, we have the same question. Why do we give it to the weaker ones? Because they have no shvua. God's choshim term in a shvua. What about if they're exempt from a shvua? So, Zutoyra v'zuhay no toyra. Again, the same thing we said before. He rushes the rice and rests not, so never you go after the rice. Okay? We give first dibs on everything to the husband. Okay. Hamoshe v'zishto chemrinis. If somebody took his wife and made her a storekeeper. Chavetz Chaim's wife was a storekeeper. You know? So that was, he made his wife a storekeeper. Oshe miniach apotropia. Or he put her in charge of some operation. That's like an apotropos. The apotropos is usually a guardian of orphans, but here she's a guardian of some other thing. Arezu mashbia, because obviously both the parents. Yeah, they're both alive. It's just somebody who's like their agent. So arezu mashbia calls manchirta, so he can make her take an oath whenever he wants that to make his wife take an oath that she's making the proper cost profit ratio. So you make it the shvua.
Same thing. The apotropos.
What? Yeah, apotropos can as well. Sure. Guardian. I raise a mashbir cause manchirta. Now it can be mashbir, and stuff which has to do with the nedarim or stuff like with the case proceedings, whatever the case may be. Rabbi Lezer may feel a pilcha balisasa, even on her own household domestic duties, we make her take a shvua. His husband can really go shvua crazy on his wife and make her take shvua even on her household duties, on what she made weaving and what she made, if anything, kneading dough. Okay, it says my yosa, my Rabbi Lezer. Talk, it's a good svar. Why does she have to take a shvua on everything? So says Mama, time that Rabban, why are Rabban required to take a shvua on everything if the husband has such good the source is this Mishnah with the back of up, because Omer at Cain, because if you're going to say like they want to say, Ain Shalom B'soch Beis Olam, a person will never have Shalom Bais. Why? Because if he constantly asks her questions and make her take oaths, needless to say, what will happen is that she's going to come to distrust him, just like he distrusts her. That's going to be the end of everything, right? Yeah, Gan Shalom is so based on Lolum. The other reason the house. Now, along these lines, very interesting more. It's not in the Bible either. Your places brings it down. Shira Sakalin. Woman starts breaking, she's a clutch. She starts breaking cups in the house. Does she have to pay her husband for them? Shouldn't she have to pay her husband for them? Shira Sakalin, Mad Avila, what's her status? Is she like a shomer chinam? Unpaid watching, she only has to pay if she gets if she was negligent, or shomer socher? Is she like a paid watchman and therefore she's got to pay no matter what, as long as it was an act of God? Or what's the other case? Yeah, it's the only, yeah, as long as it was an act of God, she has to pay, right? Because if she let the brook, she broke the cup, she would have to pay for it. Says my mistabra ma'abdina k'shar meres socher. It makes sense to say k'shar meres socher because obviously she gets sustenance from her husband. So she gets paid for the watch work she does, right? It means if she breaks the cups, the odds are she's chayav. Says the Gemara, they said, she's not even like Shmer Eschinam. Why? If you're going to do that, there's never going to be Shalom Bayis. So he's going to keep a running tally against his wife how many cups she broke. So therefore, she's not a Shomer, not even a Shomer Eschinam. Through the deducting from a Ksuba, something like that. Okay? Says Mishnah further. If you wrote for Neder Ushvua Eli Aleich, I can't require you to make me any oaths. He relinquishes that right against her. He can't make her take an oath. How much be it to Yoshi, but he can make the other heirs take an oath. That's the one who's and those people who crossed her path take an oath. Shvua Eli Aleich, if he says, however, I won't be able to take a shvua neither on you, or require to take a shvua neither you, nor your shaykh, nor your heirs, Baboyim Shuzin, nor those who come into your property by your leave, who in Yochel Ashbia, then he can't cause her to take an oath, lo son, not she, lo Yoshea, nor her heirs, the lo as Baboyim Shuzin, nor those who come after her. Avil Yosh Mashmim Osa, but that's only binding upon him as a person. But his heirs can make her take shvuos. That's your share, not just hers. That's a boy machabir shusa, those who come in her domain as well. Okay? So, this is all kind of legalese, I guess. I'm not sure what the big chiddush in the Mishnah is. But anyway, says Rabbi Yoni and Rabbi Yosi. Yosi, the Tarvei and Armin, they both said, Lo Sotov and Nechatsim Shlish Torah and Bechaye Bala. We're not just talking about here property which he acquired during her father's lifetime. El Afil Chatsim Shtal Ben Lach and Misesov, even probably acquired after his husband's lifetime. Even probably she acquired after her husband's death, Eina Yosh Mashmini Oso. The heirs can't make her take an oath. Where'd you get the money to buy that property? That's not within their rights. Says the Gemara Tamati, we learned over there, Asocher Para Mechavero, if somebody borrow or rent a cow from his friend, Vishil Acher. You know, this is going to be a fundamental thing. Hey, maybe we should give a little introduction. There's a halach of shermish and muscle of shermish. Normally you're not allowed to give something b'shmirah to somebody else. If you're a shomer, you can't give b'shmirah to somebody else. What? Safeguarding. What if I ask permission, though? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The classic case is I'm a seller, which Gemara's going to discuss. I'm a renter. And I lend it to somebody else. And now the thing goes bad. So I could take a shvuah. Whatever the case is, I could take a shvuah and get off the hook. But the shoel can't take a shvuah and get off the hook. Unless it died in the course of labor. So I actually can make a profit on this deal. I'll get off. He's not going to get off. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss, all sorts of cases of that sort. So, all right, well, I think we'll leave it to Monday in order to discuss, but that's what we're going to discuss here.
Arida
Abin also. Turn off the tape, please. Thank you.